Hey everyone! Welcome back to another episode of Following Para Lumen, quote unquote, not your ordinary podcast, where we talk about all things under the sun. I'm your host, Danica Dehuko, competitive coffee drinker, passport stamp collector, and now your new favorite podcast host. Sit back, relax, and let's get the show on the road. Hey everyone, it's Annie, and I'm still currently in Chiang Mai, Thailand, and just hanging out on my hostel. Again, shout out to Thunderbird Hostel for hosting my stay in Chiang Mai. Anyway, for this episode, we are diving into a new approach. We are joined by Joseph Kennedy of Content Pathway and from UK's number one environmental copywriter. So I'm kind of nervous, but I like a good challenge. Hello, Joseph. How are you?
Hello, I'm great, thank you. And there's no need to be nervous. Like, I think we're going to have a really nice conversation.
Where are you currently?
I'm in Brno, which is in the Czech Republic.
Oh, wow. How is it over there?
It's nice. It's a warm, sunny autumn. It should have got cold by now, but it hasn't. So we're enjoying this extended summer.
Oh, wow. What time is it over there right now?
It's 11:37 a.m. I think I'm 5 hours behind you.
Yeah. It's currently 4:39 in the afternoon here in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
I'm ahead of you then, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to be asking you a series of questions. It's very conversational. And shall we start?
Yes, boss. Let's do it.
All right. So, how did you get into traveling?
It's two reasons. My mum was a world traveler for nearly 10 years.
Oh, wow.
So I've grown up with amazing stories from her. Mm-hmm. She has the most crazy adventures, from living in hippie communities in a beach enclave in Greece, on the Greek islands, to living all over America, doing Route 66, going to festivals, and she got involved in the hippie life.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I grew up inspired. And then when I was 18, I watched Into the Wild, the movie.
Yeah.
You've seen it?
Yeah, it's a true story, isn't it?
Yeah, I've read the book as well. Literally, I watched that movie, and the next day I packed my bags and went on an adventure.
It's crazy.
I walked from my home in the UK down to Land's End, which is the final point of the UK. And it took about three and a half weeks.
You just and it was walked?
Amazing. Yeah, and hitchhiked a bit.
Oh, okay.
When the paths disappeared, I hitchhiked.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a tent, and yeah, it was great.
That's so cool.
It was pretty scary at 18.
I was actually thinking about hitchhiking in Morocco, because I'm flying into Casablanca. But my destination is in Tarudont, but I'm not really sure how I'm going to do it, because I've never hitchhiked before. So,
well, what I'll tell you is hitchhiking doesn't exist in Morocco, because if you stand at the road and thumb, somebody will think you want a taxi, because that's how the taxis function, even on the highways.
Oh, really?
The taxis don't always look like taxis. It can just be a car.
Oh.
Generally, if you're a Moroccan person driving from one city to another, you will pick people up and have a quick conversation. Oh, it's 50 dirhams to Rabat or whatever.
Okay.
So you'll still end up probably paying the same. A free ride is quite unlikely, I think.
Oh, okay. I've never really looked into it yet.
It's worth a go. Either way, you'll end up where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. So, what is it like to live as a digital nomad?
I mean, it's a dream come true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I've been working remotely for 4.5 years.
Wow, okay.
But the first year of that, I was mainly in the UK. So, 3.5 years traveling, really. It is, for me, the perfect lifestyle. I can't imagine going back to an office job.
Me too, actually, to be quite honest. I hate the routine so much.
That's such a sobering thought. I had a job in the middle of my 4.5 years, mm-hmm. there was a 3-month period where I took an office job.
Oh, okay.
And I was getting up at 7 a.m. and getting home at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wiped out my happiness. Like, my tank was empty. Mm-hmm. And I walked into my boss's office and just straight up quit and walked away.
And then after that, you just never looked back?
The next day, I started my own business. So, like, before that, I'd been working remotely for another company.
Mm-hmm.
Hit my ceiling, took a better paid job that was in office. 3 months later, I was like, no, I have to go back to the digital nomad life. So it was a real blip.
But, I can imagine.
It taught me that this is exactly what I meant to do.
Mm-hmm. So how is it like to live in the UK?
You know, it's not that bad.
I've actually never been. Well, I did a layover in Gatwick, but that doesn't count, so.
Well, you know, it has nice airports.
Mm-hmm.
But the UK, I mean, it's such a complex question. I'm from a really nice country village with a lake, and mm-hmm. there's forests and walking paths, and, you know, it's very safe. And
I had a
nice childhood. Like, I shouldn't be so critical of the UK. My problems are weather, politics, and economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's so expensive to live, and for young people to, you know, make a success of themselves, they're fighting against so many factors. You know, you're from the Philippines, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you know all what it's like to have a government that you don't feel has your back.
Of course, yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of a hard thing to live with when you think, when the system that you live in doesn't really exist to support you.
Yeah.
And so I was always disheartened by the system and wanted to see if the grass was greener. And mm-hmm. then immediately after seeing that the grass was greener, I was like, I'm staying on this grass.
So where is that? Do you have like a home base at the moment, or?
Well, yeah, I've been in Brno for just over a year, like a year and a couple of weeks. But I'm about to leave, literally a week today, I'm mm-hmm. finished.
Oh, where to?
I'm going to be kind of floating around for the next 3 months.
Okay.
Around the Balkans and the UK. And then in January, I'm going to go set up my new home base in Valencia, in Spain.
Wow. You know, I think that if I were to move to Europe, it's going to be in Spain, because I just feel like it's such a chill, like, country, and especially, like, near the Mediterranean, I just feel like it's such a great place to live.
It is my favorite country in Europe. I learned the language, like, I speak pretty good Spanish.
Oh, really?
And I've lived in 5 different places in Spain. I spent the best part of 2 years there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in first Valladolid, then Seville, Pamplona, Ronda, and Tarifa. And I've visited almost every city. I've walked the Camino de Santiago, the famous pilgrimage.
Yeah, I want to do that. I was just reading The Pilgrimage by Paulo Coelho.
Yeah, I read it a few weeks ago. It's great.
Yeah, that's what made me interested in doing that. Although I'm not Catholic, I have to say.
100% do it. Like, from all of my travels over the years,
mm-hmm.
that is 100% the best thing I've ever done.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, but, like, that's a 10, everything else is a 3.
Okay.
It's that good. Yeah.
Really? You know, in the Philippines, we were colonized by Spaniards. And our language is actually pretty near the Spanish language, but but we have like certain words that are similar but has a completely different meaning. Like leche means milk in Spanish, right?
Yeah.
But when somebody in the Philippines calls you leche, it means you're a bitch. So we have like words like that. And
do you say kumusta?
Kumusta, yeah, it means kumusta. How are you in Tagalog as well.
Como estas?
Yeah, kumusta. And but whenever I meet like Spanish people, I actually have a roommate right now at my hostel who's from Spain, and he asked me, "Oh, you're from the Philippines. You must know how to speak Spanish." But I'm like, "Nope, I don't know why, but we just don't speak Spanish. And even though, like, last year, I spent the past 6 months of 2017 in New York City, and I worked at a diner with mostly Hispanic people, and I just didn't pick it up. I don't know. I don't think that language is one of my strengths. So, yeah.
Well, your English is fluent. Is English your first language?
Actually, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
And even in the Philippines, it's weird because all of our textbooks in school are in English. And I find it, like, pretty odd because when we were growing up in school, we have this English speaking policy. And if you speak in Tagalog, you have to pay a fine, which I feel like is completely ridiculous.
I mean, it's good for education. Like, I mean, how applicable is Tagalog around the world?
Well, it's true.
English can really take your life to the next level.
Well, it's true, but I just feel like you have to know your country's identity first before diving into a completely different, like, language or culture. But yeah, I see what you're trying to get at. I see your point. And honestly, I feel so grateful that I had an education like that, because it just makes communicating a little so much more easy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about your website, Content Pathway. Can you tell us what you do and what it is about?
So I'm an environmental copywriter, and I mean, all the time when I connect with new people, they say, what is that?
It's the first time I've heard about it.
I'm a copywriter within the environmental industry. That's kind of the simplest form.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a huge industry that covers a real diversity of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got customers like electric car companies, renewable energy companies, waste management,
mm-hmm.
eco software, you know, waste analytics, this kind of thing. There's a lot that falls into, like, even, you know, wall insulation for your home is part of the environmental industry. It's really diverse. I was working recently on a project on Zimbabwean entomophagy farming, so basically making insects for food in Africa. And again, it falls under environmental. So I don't just write content. That's what people assume, but there's more to it. It's strategy, it's consulting, it's audience research, SEO research, it's, you know, implementing long-term ideas and culture change, thought leadership. It's, you know, it's really, it can turn businesses around completely. Yeah.
So have you always been into, like, the environment, or what got you involved into environmental copywriting?
I've been thinking about this recently. Do you know Malcolm Gladwell?
No, I've heard of him, but I've heard of it, but I'm not really familiar.
He encourages you to look at the advantages and coincidences of your life that help you get to the position you're in. So I was trying to assess my own life and think, how did I get here? I grew up, like I said, in nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a beautiful village with a lake and forest. And conservation is important to us. And I worked through my teen years in the country park. Like a national park sort of thing. So, you know, I had nature all around me. And then when I was a teenager, there was a campaign in my village against a wind farm being installed.
Yeah.
And I was livid. And I think maybe this is my earliest memory of realizing how pro-environmental I was.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was so in favor of this wind farm. And I was walking around my village and seeing posters against it. And I just thought it was absolutely ludicrous. so, you know, and my mum, you know, she traveled the world. She's got kind of hippie ideals. She's very liberal and, you know, she loves animals and nature and recycling. She's great. And my dad used to have an electric car and he's got solar panels. So I think I've been around people with the right ideas.
Yeah.
You know, my little sister, she's vegan, meat free for 15 to 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, and my mum, she was meat free for a long time. It's, it's a good kind of combination of things. I've always kind of been interested in technology and progress, and I think when I put it all together, it just makes sense that I ended up here.
Yeah, it's true. So when did you actually decide to start Content Pathway, or like your business?
It was the end of 2015. I left my first remote job. So I was working in the marketing department for a recycling company. And my job was to produce amazing content and do social media and stuff all about different environmental and recycled topics. And I kept doing interviews with these companies who were making like recycled handbags and, you know, recycled anything really.
Okay.
You know, fashion and object. And they kept saying, "Oh, that's really cool that you're doing this. There's not many people really writing about these things. You know, it would be great if there was more." And then, you know, I took that 3-month office job, which was a complete fail. And I knew in my head I wanted to do what I'd done before. I wanted to pretty much continue the job I'd done before, but, you know, make more money, not have a boss, and have ultimate freedom. So I said, well, I have to recreate that position for myself, but with greater scope, with you know, a much bigger vision. And so I just did it. Like, the day after I quit that job, I went to the government website, registered myself as a self-employed, and got to work, like, finding clients. And I knew I wanted to write about the environment, and that's kind of all I knew on day one. And everything else I figured out from doing courses and reading books and talking to business people, really, like, crowdsourcing my knowledge and influence.
So do you see yourself, like, sorry?
One more thing is...
Okay, don't worry.
Having been in that environmental job, I had an advantage was that I'd already built a network of environmental people on LinkedIn.
Oh, okay.
So when I did start my business, I had a good contact book already. I would recommend growing a LinkedIn audience to anyone. So worthy.
Yeah, I'm actually just starting to connect with other people on LinkedIn, and I find it like really, really helpful as well.
It is so good. When I had maybe 1,000 to 2,000 connections, and I wanted to get a new customer, it could take me up to a couple of weeks of doing, you know, posts and messaging people. Yeah. And now I've got like 6,000, and I've really targeted that growth to environmental professionals, business owners, entrepreneurs, investors. That now if I put a post out saying I'm looking for a new client, generally within a couple of days I've got a new customer.
Oh, that's so cool. It's really nice.
It's made acquisition really easy.
That's nice.
But it's taken 4.5 years to grow that.
Well, it's true. I think that what other people don't see is that digital nomads actually work really hard to get to where they're at right now, because a lot of people just see like, oh, they're traveling, their lives must be so easy. But it's not. I mean, it is worth it. And living this life is a beautiful thing, but it's a lot of hard work, sleepless nights, trying to find clients. And
I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, the payoff is definitely worth it, but people don't see the stress that I've been through, the sacrifices I've made. Like, people just go, oh dude, you're so lucky, and I hate that word. I'm like, I am not lucky.
Just really have to work hard for it.
I have built this position from adversity. I've built it in spite of, you know, the disadvantages.
Exactly.
Because it had to be, like, you know, a lot of people will never chase their dreams, but I fought against every challenge and objection and hurdle along the way to do so.
And you did a good job.
Well, I'm enjoying it at the moment. There's been tough times, you know. Like, creating a sustainable income as a digital nomad is tricky for a lot of people. And I've certainly had times where I didn't make much money. When I left Chiang Mai, I flew back to Europe. my income was very low. I'd lost a couple of clients, and I'd spent most of my savings. I was really in a tricky situation, and I took a teaching job, teaching English in Spain, just to get by for the next few months until I figured things out, and I did, fortunately.
That's so nice to hear.
It's just good to be adaptable.
It's true. And I think that traveling gives you a better sense of adaptability, because you never know what you may encounter when you're on the road. So I think traveling helps a lot in that case.
I mean, it's completely adaptable. It is adaptability training, because you're constantly meeting different people, eating different foods, sleeping in different beds, different modes of transport, different languages, and you know, you're having to use different websites and stuff to do research, and then it's every street is a new street, and that's
true.
You know, it's really training you for anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's the opposite of routine and comfort.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. So do you see yourself doing this, like, in the long run? Or, if not, would you like to dive into a different path?
On the day I started this business, I wrote a 5-year plan, and I'm halfway through that now. And
oh, that's nice.
I was never sure at the start if this was my forever job, but the more I get into it, the more I fall in love with what I do, and the more influence I have, the greater quality of contacts and clients, and the more I earn per hour. And I just say, how could I ever leave this when it's the best thing that ever happened to me? It's my true love is my work right now, and I was never really a careerist. I think it's more the lifestyle design. Would I do this forever? Yes, but I would have to continue to see growth and progress, because the worst thing for me is stagnancy. If I ever feel like I'm not moving forward, I feel like I'm completely snowballing backwards. I've always been that person that has to go next thing, let's move forward, what's the next step we can do, how can we make this better, bigger, stronger, faster. And when that stops, I struggle. So yeah, can I do it forever? Yeah, I could. Will I? Not sure. I think it will at some point open up another door.
Yeah.
I'd love to go work in the third world doing eco conservation.
Yeah.
But it's a sacrifice to sacrifice what I've built. That's the overriding question, is will ever anything come along that supersedes what I've built and completely changes my focus?
Well, we actually never know, right?
Sorry?
We never know what the future holds.
I'm open to it, though. Like,
yeah,
if there is something greater, then of course I would love for something to be better than this, but the universe is going to have to work pretty hard to show me it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the questions, and I think that's it.
Okay, cool.
Thank you so much. So where can we find you on social media?
Okay, I'm on Instagram. That's at Capture Joseph. Like Capture as in CAPTURE. And then Joseph, JOSEPH. I'm on LinkedIn, Joseph Kennedy. Please connect with me. Like, I'm a real advocate for remote work.
I've
probably helped at least a dozen people to transition into the remote lifestyle, and if you need some advice, I'm happy always to give my time to those who will avidly pursue this. I'm also on Facebook. I have two pages. I have one professional one and one travel one. The professional one is facebook.com/JosephKennedyCP, and the other one is /StingyNomad. That's my old backpacker name.
Oh, okay.
I wrote an ebook years ago on how to travel very cheap. Things like, you know, doing volunteer projects and hitchhiking and, you know, using different online tools to get cheap accommodation. So, my website, www.cpath.co.uk, C-P CPAETH. Mm-hmm. That stands for Content Pathway.
Okay.
So there you can learn more about me, my clients, what I get up to at work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you can find me on social media at dmdanhutko, and my blog is www.danikadanhutko.com. So everything will be listed in the description box. Joseph's blog, Facebook, like LinkedIn, and everything. And I guess that's it. I'll see you guys next week. Thank you so much, Joseph, for reaching out and for agreeing to do this podcast. It means so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Thank you.